Welcome to each one that's here this morning. Good to see all you. Just continue to be in the spirit of prayer for Donita and Thomas as we go through this service and through the day. Life is full of so many surprises. You know, there are often we say there are, some of them are bad and some of them are good, but God has a reason and a purpose for everything, and often things that look bad, God uses them for our good. And so we can truly say this morning, God is good. He truly is. I just have to pray for a lot of understanding and explanations from him sometimes, because I don't really understand some of the things. But one thing that thought that has always carried me through is we don't have to understand. He just asks us to take his hand, and he'll walk us through it. Interesting week I had. And it was the things that I studied and the things that happened in my life that brought me to an interesting moment. I found myself praying all week, Lord, what would you have me speak on today, on Sunday? And God just made a bunch of things happen in my life that brought me to the message that I have this morning, or that he gave me. And it was a message really directly to me. But I found myself thinking about the Sunday school lesson this week. And one moment we have people crying, away with him, away with him. And then I ask myself the question, the choices I make in life, am I saying away with him too? But you know, after I was thinking about that and went to sleep, during the night, a very interesting little song, little chorus came to me as I was laying there, and it was like a little dream. And it was a song that Fernando Ortega sings. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And I woke up and I said, thank you, Lord. Many people say, away with him. Away with him, just like the Jews. And you're giving me a message, not away with him. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Help me to make choices in life that welcome you. Help me, Father, within me, cause such a hunger and thirst for righteousness that I would be filled. Now, as I was thinking of that scripture and many others talking about being filled, you know, it's not always a good feeling when you kick yourself away from the table and you're still not full. And you go, wow, I want something more. You ever feel that way when you're studying the Word? You want to close the Word, but yet you just think, I can't. I don't think I got everything that God wanted me to get here. And so you ask God to give you an understanding that you would be able to understand deeper things. Because it's on the deep things of God that brings us, that fills us. When we just settle for Oreo cookies, Snicker candy bars, Lay's potato chips, and Coke, it's not very sustainable, is it? I run out of energy very quick. It might just for a moment give me a little burst, but after a while I'm like, oh, I need something more. a steak sounds so good, some green beans and some corn. And you know, there are a lot of people that try to fill themselves with wrong things. And it's like it's not sustainable and they're not filled. And Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. His righteousness is so much deeper. You know, I had a friend years ago. I loved him. He was such a fun guy. Always, and yet very sincere in his walk. But his diet, his physical diet was awful. I talked to some of the friends that worked with him, and they said that for lunch and for break, he'd have potato chips, Snicker bars, and Coke. And recently I heard that, and he wasn't, he's not as old as I am, and but he passed away. And I'm not preaching about Coke and all that stuff today, but I'm just trying to drive home a point that we cannot expect to survive in this Christian walk if we don't long for a steak and long for green beans, and that's all in searching for his righteousness in his word. And when we are filled with his word, that's what comes out. And that's what gives us sustainable existence and sustenance to go on, and we can withstand all the fiery darts of the devil. I was reading a story this week about a woman that was known by Ruth Paxson, who was a missionary to China years ago. And Ruth Paxson gives the story of a woman that was over there with her and serving on the mission field, and God asked her to go back home. So she went back home. So she decided when she went back home that she would buy a farm and try to farm. Well, while she was trying to farm, and she was a very deep person. She was always thirsting and hungering for deeper things of God in her life, knowing that there had to be something more. She was not, didn't feel filled. And even while when she was in the mission field, so when she got back home and bought this farm, she was threshing one day and got her arm caught in the threshing machine, and boom, it cut her arm right off. And there she was with one arm. I find it very interesting, her response. Her response indicated that she knew the deep things of God. She may ask one little question. It wasn't, why, Lord? But she just looked up and said, what, Lord? What do you want me to do? I have one arm. And she wasn't asking him, why did you take this arm? She just said, what? And God told her, God walked with her and showed her that she should turn her farm into caring for elderly people. And she opened her home and her farm and had a powerful ministry from that point on in her life, and her life was full. There are some people that go through life, their life is never full, and it's just, they just stay on the surface all the time. I was thinking of a lot of scriptures about being filled. But in thinking about all of this, God brought some men in my life this week that I had no clue that they were deep thinkers of God. But I'm working on a softener, and this one guy walks up, the owner of the business. I never looked at him as somebody that was real godly. And he shocked me. He stood right beside me and began ministering to me. And it was wonderful to be ministered to by someone who was filled. He was so filled, it was just pouring out of him. And he ministered to me while I was working. And I just found refreshment coming over my being. I found myself feeling of being filled with God's righteousness from another brother. Paul talks about that in Romans, and I'll read it to you in a bit. And then the next guy, I called him as I was on my way to his house to do a service call, and He had a very interesting message, and I didn't know that he was a man of the word, but he had an interesting message on his answering machine. He just said, I just want to leave a message with you that, and I'm sorry I missed your call, but my message to you is read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a different message. And the verses 4 through 7 are about being filled with love, long-suffering, patience, all the good things that come from someone seeking God for filling in his life. And here these verses, he quoted or he shared them in that reference with them. And so when I get there and I start talking to him, he ministered to me deeply about God and how God's directed his life into being retired. He was able to be retired, and he said, and I just look for ways that I can plant seeds of hope and love in people's lives. And he said, that was what motivated me to put that scripture on my answering service. So I walked away that day from those two calls feeling so refreshed. And Paul talks about that in Romans 15, verse 29. He says, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And that's what these two men did to me. They came to me in fullness with the blessing of the gospel of Christ to me. I thought, how beautiful. And then it goes on to say in that next verse or two, it says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And that's what happened to me. These men, and I'm not giving any glory to them, but I am just praising God that he used them and that they were full. And being full, they were able to come to me with joy and not only teach me deeper things of God, but they were able to give refreshment. You know, it's hard to be with people who are down on the mouth all the time and who don't have a lot of encouragement to give you, and who are always looking at dark things. It's hard to walk away from that situation and be refreshed. I mean, I usually walk away despondent, worse than I was before I got there. You know, there's another beautiful scripture. Found in John 15:11. It talks about being filled. John 15:11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, it's much easier to operate, and I'm talking about the physical world as well as the spiritual world, when we're full. When we feel full and satisfied, then it's amazing what work production comes out, and also what flows from our life as we're filled and full of the righteousness of Christ. You know, as I was thinking about food that fills you and sustains you, I was thinking about the story of David in Samuel. I'm trying to think if it's first or second, where David's men, and David and his men were tired. They had worked hard and long in protecting Nabal's servants, his shepherds, and his sheep. So David was feeling very, very much that they needed something to eat, and they didn't have much. So he sent his men to talk with Nabal. And when they got there, they talked with Nabal, and Nabal was mad, and he was very down in the mouth and very churlish. The Bible called him churlish, which means he was a sour grapes. or like we would say, a sourpuss. Anyway, he looked at them and he said, "Must I share my food, my bread, and my meat with guys like you I don't even know?" So they came back to David with no food. They were empty-handed. And they told David what Nabal had said, and David was mad. He was so mad, he said, "Come on, guys, we're going to jump on our horses." I don't know if it was horses or camels, but we're gonna gallop down there, and we're going to show Nabal a thing or two. And Nabal had a beautiful wife named Abigail. The Bible said she had a radiant countenance. And that's, and she was a godly woman. And she heard what happened, and she knew that David was going to come riding down on them and destroy them. And so she right away said, "Come on." She told all her maidservants, "Come on, we got work to do." Interesting, the food she chose to bring them sustenance. And I was thinking about that. It wasn't little light stuff. It was raisins. It was figs. It was 5 dressed out lambs. And I think there was some wine mixed with it too. But the food she chose for those men were foods that were that really would give you energy and would revive you and refresh you. And she came riding down with all her maids on their, it says that they were riding donkeys, so probably not as fast as horses, but they came riding down the mountainside, and she fell at David's feet and just bowed and said, "I know what my husband did to you was not nice, but," she said, "I pray that you will not shed any blood, but that you would take this food," and there was other words, but David was so encouraged and so impressed with this lady that he told her, "Thank you for coming. Thou hast kept me today from shedding blood. Go in peace." So she refreshed David and his men and kept them from doing the thing that we all would love to do, rise up and get revenge. Being filled with the righteousness of God and that pouring from our lives can save, bring people to salvation and away from destruction. You know, I was thinking a lot about, also with all of this, about my own problem with weight. You know, I think summers, they can just stare at food and they get fat. I mean, sometimes I don't eat a lot, and I don't lose anything. But then I was thinking a lot about these diets where they say that this will suppress your hunger, and you won't have to worry about getting fat, and you won't want to eat. I was thinking about things also in our spiritual walk that suppresses the hunger within us for Jesus. Ephesians has some good things to say about that. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." People who are in drunkenness will not give refreshment. And that'll also, they think they're being refreshed at the moment. But in making that choice, it takes their hunger away from Jesus. And they're substituting that hunger for Jesus with alcohol. And often from those people's lives comes destruction, not only on their own bodies, but on other people. You often hear of terrible accidents of men who are driving and drunk and taking the lives of others. What do you and I do? What choices do we make that suppress our hunger for Jesus and from being filled? Do we choose to work harder and to make more money, thinking that's going to bring fulfillment? It's interesting the different choices we often make, and then we come to the end of the week and we realize we haven't really gone deep with the Lord at all. And that hunger that he longs for us to fill us with is gone. And we find ourselves going to other things for fulfillment. When our hunger is suppressed, we cannot be full with Jesus. We cannot experience being filled. I came across some very interesting things this week reading about being filled. The one man writes this. He says, "Our lives as believers, corporately as well as my life individually, is to have the Spirit of God living in and through us, that what comes out is not a tiny picture of Jesus, but the full expression of who he is." So what kind of picture are we giving to those that we hang out with? Are we giving a tiny picture of Jesus, or are we giving the full expression of being full with Jesus? And they get a picture of who Jesus really is. Often we are the only picture that people get who Jesus is. And often it's distorted. And the refreshment is not there. The drawing to Jesus is not there. He goes on to say, and I found this so interesting, "The world needs to know there is a God because they see him showing himself through our lives." And he goes on to say, "I don't produce it. I don't produce it. I don't play copycat. I allow the living God through the Holy Spirit indwelling my life to act upon the stage of my life, to show himself strong and powerful to the world despite my weakness and inability." And, you know, there's often I feel very weak and not able to do something God has called me to do. And yet God gives me the strength to do it. The only explanation of my life is to be Jesus. To be Jesus. That the world may know I have victory or purity or joy or peace. That's the reason why I have victory. That's the reason why I can experience purity in my life. That's the reason I can experience joy to the fullest, as John 15:11 says, or peace or strength or wisdom or anything else, is not because there is something inherently good about myself, because I try real hard, but rather because I am embracing Jesus. And he, through the Spirit, is providing his life through mine. Embracing Jesus. If there's anything good that comes from my life, it's because I embrace Jesus with his word and filling him, and I have a relationship, and I long to have his arms about me and strengthening me, that I am able to be filled and that I am able to flow out refreshment, to flow out life. Not death. And so often we don't flow with life. But it's only as we embrace Jesus that we have strength, that we have wisdom, that we have joy, and there's something good that comes from our life. It's not because of us trying harder. And often we think the harder we try to do this and that, maybe we can taste Jesus a little bit, and maybe we can be effective in this world. And that's not it at all. That is not it at all. It's as we are Jesus and embrace Jesus. That's the only explanation I can give you why there's anything good that comes out of my life. You know, everything was against my life from little on up. I mean, I grew up with a father who was all about himself, and he would hardly ever have time to even look at us. And all he could think about was his country music band, and going to bars and entertaining in nightclubs and running with women. And I remember sitting at home waiting for him, longing for him to come up the steps one night, and he never came. And I remember weeping at the steps. We lived in an old wash house in Hartville down by the Mucklands. I don't know if any of you have ever been in the Mucklands, but it's where they raise beautiful food, sustaining food, food that gives life, food that is full of life from the muck. Anyway, the wash house was planted right in the middle of all of that, and that's where we lived. And in order to get up to the upstairs, there was only living space in the upstairs. You had to go up a big flight of steps. And I remember one night waiting and waiting for my dad to come home, and he didn't come home. I found out later on the next morning that it was in the wee hours of the morning that they drug my dad, a couple men, up the steps because he was too drunk to make the flight of steps. So, if there's anything good in me, it's not because of my background. We'll often hear people talk about my background. Yeah, he's a good man. He has a good pedigree behind him. That doesn't give life to others. Just because you have a good pedigree, often it brings death. Never forget talking to one widow whose daughter was dating a young man. I found it very interesting. She said to me, she said, I don't know this man, but you know, I just trust in his pedigree. He's got a good background. You ever hear those comments? That should make him good. No, there's only one person that can make us good, and that's Jesus. No pedigree, no background. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. If there's anything good you see in me, it's Jesus, it's not me. Ian Thomas, how many of you have ever read any of his works, Ian Thomas? I never heard of him before, but I was reading a little bit about one of his comments that he made. He wrote the book, The Mystery of Godliness. And he says this, and I just say, amen, hallelujah. That's so right. The Christian life can be explained only in terms of Jesus Christ. And if your life as a Christian can still be explained in terms of you, your personality, your willpower, your gift, your talent, your money, your courage, your scholarship, your dedication, your sacrifice, or your anything, then although you may have the Christian life, you are not yet living it. I found that very profound. You are not really living. You have all the right things in place, but you're not living the Christian life. You haven't experienced the fullness. You haven't experienced the filling of his righteousness within you. You're full of who? I'll let you answer that. My wife heard me this morning singing this song because it's just an old chorus, and I think Chad knows it too. And if Chad would be feeling better, I'd make him come up and help me sing it. He's shaking his head. It goes like this. It was written by one of the young men that I used to go to church with. And I think other choruses have sung it. It goes, can the world see Jesus when they look at your life? Are you failing in the spiritual strife? In word, in spirit, In faith and charity, can the world see Jesus when they look at me? Then I just added, or when they look at me, they see me, me, me. Chad, did I sing that right? Chad's shaking his head. No, that's why I wanted you to come up. Come up and do the right version. But the message of the song is, can they see you or do they just see me? Are you living, truly living, the life that Jesus has called you to live and longs for you to live? You probably wonder what my title of the message is, and I struggled with just finding a real good title, and all I can think of is embracing Jesus or being filled with his righteousness. You can put whatever title you want on it. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you stirred my heart so deeply about going deeper with you in your word. And I'm thinking about the scriptures in Ephesians that I forgot to read, and I'm going to read them when I'm finished here because I think they'll bless us. Lord, I pray that you would stir all our hearts to go deep with you, that out from our lives would flow refreshment. Out from our lives would flow your goodness, your fullness, your righteousness, not our own. And your word in Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you, Father, that it's possible that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. But it's only as we know you and we know your love that passes all knowledge. We think sometimes more knowledge, we try hard to get more knowledge and study for that purpose, and we totally lose sight of you. Also, Colossians 1:9b, says that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And you go further in that passage, Colossians 1. Just read it quickly to you. I'd like to close with these words. Beautiful words, what flows from a life that's filled. I just read to you, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered you from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Fullness of Jesus within us will pour out life to others. Fullness of Jesus within us will pour out direction that we might know his will, the one scripture talks about when we're full. We are able to know his will and to give his will to others. Fullness of Jesus brings guidance not only to our own lives, but also to the lives of others. Fullness of Jesus will bring refreshment to others. Patience pours forth and long-suffering, as Colossians talks about, and joyfulness pours out. Thanksgiving continually pouring from our lives. And darkness, it talks about darkness being overwhelmed by the light of Christ within us. Forgiveness and redemption will pour from our lives. May God bless you guys.